Begin the current daf, Masechta Bava Basra, daf Kuf Samach Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Kuf Samach Gimel and Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara returns to a statement made by Rav in the previous daf. So the Gemara says, Gufa, we had mentioned that Amar Rav, Rav said, Shtar haba hu ve'edav al ha-mechek, regarding a document, that both the content, the actual writing of the document itself, and the witnesses, if they're both signed on an erased document, kosher, it's going to be kosher, there's no concern. As the Gemara continues on top of Kof Samach Dal Madalf, where Ve'im Tam, if you're going to say, wait a second, we could run into a serious problem over here. Meichik v'chayzeru meichik, he could erase, and then go ahead and erase again. In other words, we're running into problems because although they're both written on the same thing, which is written, so there should be no concern about forgery, but there is, because although it was once erased, what the holder of the document might do, he might just erase the writing again, and then he'll forge and write whatever he wants to, and he already has the witnesses already previously signed. And no one's going to be any the smarter because it already was erased anyway. So usually the problem is you could tell when someone erases. So we're usually not concerned in the regular document where you have the writing and the witnesses. Where you're going to erase, we could tell it was erased. And that's how parchment is. You could tell what something was done with it. But here, where they're both erased, okay, so they're both erased anyway. What do you mean erased anyway? He might erase it again and write over that. On that says the Gemara, no, Eina de menimchu pam achas, you cannot compare something that was erased one time. In other words, the witnesses who signed on the erased part of the parchment, which was already only erased one time, you can't compare that l'nimchu shtei pamim to something that was erased a second time. Where if you're going to go ahead, the mouth of the lender, and erase the writing on the document a second time, that is recognizable as a forgery, and therefore there's no concern. So you could go ahead, just like you could write on a regular piece of paper, you could write on an erased piece of paper and have the witnesses sign in it. Because even if he would try to go ahead and erase it and then write over that again, so what do you mean? Erased? It was always erased. No, we could tell the difference if it was erased a second time. And therefore there's no concern for forgery for Ziyath. But on that, as the Gemara, Bevalechet, but let us be concerned as follows. Dilma Shadi, maybe the holder of the document, will put deyusa. He'll put ink on the parchment, amokim edim mi'ikara, on the place of where the witnesses sign in the beginning, meaning before the document's ever written. Then, umachiklei, what he's going to do is, he's then going to erase that writing from where the witnesses sign. Then, he's going to go ahead and write on the entire piece of parchment, and then erase the whole thing. Then he's going to have the witnesses sign on the place where the witness is supposed to sign, which will already be a part of the paper that was erased two times. Because the first time he had just put ink on the bottom, erased, then he wrote the whole thing and then erased. So the right where the witnesses sign was already erased two times before they write. The document, however, was only written on the erased part of the paper that was only erased one time. Now, what happens now is the chihadim mochik lelahai. Now, when he wants to go ahead to erase the written document to create a forgery, which is going to erase the content part of the document, havala idi v'idi nimchik shtei pamim, he could get away with this because now, just like the place of where the witnesses signed was erased two times. Now that he erased the writing and writes his whole new forged document, that's also going to be erased two times. So when he's going to bring it into court, they're going to say, this is erased two times. They say, yeah, but look at the witnesses. They're also erased two times. Obviously, there's no forgery. Just like you said, you could write and sign on an erased document. Here also, there's no discrepancy, and therefore no one would suspect forgery, and therefore would be validated. But that's the concern, because he might have had them sign on an erased two times, and the writing was only on one time, and then he erases, writes it over. That's going to be equal two times, and then he'll be forging it. Abai answers the question. He said, Ksav Rav, Rav holds, that witnesses actually cannot sign on an erased document. They could. It's only, however, if it was erased in front of them. In other words, if they see that the place of where they're going to sign looks different than the what's erased on the top, which that's going to be the case in the case was just described to Askan Rav, where their part was already erased two times and the top was only erased one time, then they're not going to sign. So they have to see what does it look like before it was erased to notice if there was a discrepancy, and therefore there's no concern because they're going to look beforehand and they'll be able to tell the difference. And therefore, if we end up finding that they're both erased the same amount of times, that must have meant that they saw it beforehand and they recognize that there's no differences and therefore it's going to be kosher because we're not concerned of this case that was just described. The Gemara continues asking on Rav Meisavei. The Gemara is from the following Braisa. Hu ala niyar. If let's say the document itself was on the parchment itself. The Edav al hamechek. Now the witnesses on the bottom sign on a raised part. Says the Braisa kasher. The document is valid where either if we recognize the witnesses' signatures or their signatures were validated from another place. Meaning that we don't have the witnesses themselves to tell us what happened. But we have the document is on the paper and the witness is on the erased part. On that, as the Gemara, but menechesh dima machikle, concern should be as follows. Maybe what's going to happen is if you're going to say such a document is kosher, that the witnesses could sign on such a paper where their part is from an erased piece of paper and the top part was never erased. But then the document holder might go ahead and erase the writing on the top. For kasamai debay, he'll write whatever he wants to. V'havalei huve edevala machik. According to you, Rab, that you said that it's valid that someone could produce in court as a kosher document. If the writing and the witnesses were signed on the erased document, so then how could the Brisa say that if the document was written on an empty piece of paper, never erased, and they signed on the erased, that's kosher, but why? But then that's going to create a situation where he's going to be able to get away with forgery, because according to you, Rav, when he then erases the top and writes it, which was only erased one time, and they wrote on the erased one time, it's going to be kosher in court. But that's opening the way for him to create this forgery. And that answers the Gemara. No, the Kasvi Hachi, such a case of the Braisa, the witnesses would have to write, Anachna Sahada Chasamna Amachka. They would have to write this, that we, the witnesses, sign on an erased part, Vishtara Kasva Niara, and the document is written on a regular piece of parchment, not erased. And then, therefore, that's gonna preclude the problem, because he's not going to erase it now, because although if the document's on the race and the witness on the race, like Rav said, it's going to be kosher, but here they wrote explicitly that the top part was not erased. And if it's going to be erased, it's going to be invalid. Now, however, on this answer, the Gemara asks, the Kasvi Hecha, where exactly do the witnesses write this line? Imalatachas, if it's beneath their signatures, as one would suspect, because that's after they sign, but then Gai is late, but then the holder of the document will just cut it off, and therefore you're not going to see that stipulation. And Eloi, and if it's on top of their signatures, then machikle, then he'll just erase it. And then it'll look like one big erased thing, like we said. So where do they write this? And so the Gemara, the Kasvi bin Sahada l'Sahada. They write it between the witness's signatures, where there, that's unavoidable, that's somewhere where he cannot erase. That's in that place is where you write this line, and therefore they say clearly that we wrote on an erase, and the document was on not erased, and therefore he can't go ahead and just erase the top, because then you're going to be able to see between the witness's signatures that it was erased another time, which, as we said, you could tell a difference between erased one time and two times. They already wrote on the erased, they'll be able to tell that difference. So therefore, that precludes the problem. However, the Gemara continues, says, Ihachi im esefer, but that's the case, look at the end of the Braisa. The Braisa then says the flip type of a case. Hu alamechek, let's say the document was written on an erased piece of paper. And the Edav Alanyar, the bottom part where the witnesses sign, was actually on never non-erased piece of paper. So the Bryce, in that case, Pasul in that case is going to be invalid, because here, maybe he's just going to erase the document again and go ahead and forge it. Because that's obviously, the witnesses are written on a plain piece, not erased. So you could tell that they're valid. But if the writing's on the erased, then you just erase it as many times as you want to, and then you write whatever you want. And they can't tell that it was erased. Yeah, we know that it was erased. So therefore, it's going to be invalid. On that, asked the Gemara, Amai Pasul, why is that document then invalid? If you're saying, as you answered previously for Rav, that they could just write exactly what the circumstances were at the time of the writing of the document, let them write, Anachna sahadi chasam na al yara, us the witnesses, we saw on the part of the paper that was not erased, v'shtar amechka, and the document was on the erased part. So what's the concern? We know what exactly happened. We know what it was written, and therefore they could specify that. Now, says the Gemara, Bahashtanami Ma'amid, but what are you going to say? No, how does that take care of the problem? Because Meichik, Chayzer, Meichik, what do you mean? He's going to, they can erase, but then they could go ahead and erase again. And therefore that doesn't go ahead, and the guy could still go ahead and create a forgery. And that the Gemara asked, but Ha'amid, but you said, you can't compare erased one time to two times. If they're saying that it was erased, so we don't have to be concerned that it was a forgery, because they're writing that it was erased. So what are you going to say? But it's going to open up the doorway that he could forge it again, because he could just go ahead and erase again. And that we say, no, We know what one time erased was in contrast to two times. So let's say it was erased one time. We don't have to be concerned that it'll be erased a second time. So why is that case possible? Especially according to what we answered for Rav previously, that they could write and therefore avoid any problems. And that answers the Gemara, no. Hani mili, heiched dechasim yisahadi amechka. When did we say that it's going to help, that we could tell the difference if it's erased one time or two times? That's where the witness is signed on the erased part of the document. Where there, since there's going to be two different types of erasures on the one document, one right near the other, then you could tell the difference which one was erased more than the other. And that is what we had explained. If you're going to have them on erased and then erased one, you have to tell that the witnesses were erased one time and the writing was erased a second time. But in this case that the Bryce is talking about, where the witnesses did not sign on the erased part of the document, rather on the clean piece of paper, lo yadia, it's not going to be recognizable, and therefore you're going to run into problems. Even though they say, yes, we signed on the plain part, and the writing was on the erased part, and that's not going to help, because even though we know it was only erased one time, the guy could go ahead and erase it a second time, because how could you tell? You can't. There's nothing to compare it to. It's through the contrast and comparison that you can tell these look different in the erasers. But if it's the only thing erased, you can't tell if it was erased one time or two times. And that has to come up, but if that's all the problem, so then that's a technical thing we could take care of. Bring another piece of parchment, another scroll, and erase it one time and compare it. You can tell now. Okay, so you need something to compare it to? This was erased one time and see if this looks the same. If it doesn't, obviously it was erased a second time and then invalid. If it looks the same, then it's going to be kosher. Why do we say that this document, that the writing was on the machik, on the erased part, and the witnesses on the nyar, is going to be possible? Says the Gemara, no. You can't compare the erasure on this scroll to what was erased on this scroll, because every piece of parchment is from a different part of the cow, a different animal, and this could be thicker, this could be thinner, and when you erase a parchment that's thicker, it's not as recognizable as when it's thin, and therefore you can't compare two different pieces of parchment. But then the Gemara still asks, what you could do is as follows. Take the acceptance of the verification of the witness's signatures in the courts. In other words, that the holder of the document should not lose the witnesses that were signed. In other words, accepted, validated. Make it recorded that these were kosher witnesses. But then, v'limchik, erase the part of where the witnesses had signed on, which was the part that was never erased. And then go ahead and v'ladami. And then you could go ahead and write on top of that erased part, and now compare to see, do these writings look the same? Because the top part was only erased one time, and then it was written on top of that. Now, we had said that there's nothing to compare it on the bottom because it never erased. Go ahead, accept the witnesses, then erase it, then write over. Then you'll be able to tell the difference in this document itself if the top was erased only once or twice. On that, Rav Hoshi says, no, that still doesn't work. You can't compare something, even on the same piece of parchment, that was erased for one day to something that was erased 2 days. And therefore, since this was erased yesterday, the top part, if this is going to be erased now today on the bottom, it's not going to help. You still can't compare the two of them. But that has to come up. But for the Shah, yeah, it's okay, so fine, but at least delay it. Once it reaches a certain time, all old parts look the same, and then you'll be able to compare it anyway. On that, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, you're right, b'chashin lebezin toyin. But we're concerned for an erroneous court who they're not going to be able to be as meticulous in this art of comparing and contrasting, and they're not going to be able to delay it, and therefore they're going to end up validating an apostle ishtar because the top one might have been erased another time, and therefore they made a blanket rule to invalidate any document that was written on an erased part and that the witnesses had signed on the clean part, because again, although we said technically there might be an art in figuring this out, it's too delicate for a court, and therefore we invalidate them all because the top part's erased. You could erase it many times and we're not going to be able to necessarily pick that up. Now, Rashbam does point out that those who are not gairis this question about the Shayai, because as Tosis explains, that because even if you delay it, there's still going to be a difference, because that's now 7 days old and that one's 8 days old. So rather, what their girsa is, that what your Birmi is going on, is actually going on the original question that Rav Hoshe was responding to, which when he says, Cheshen Lebezen Tayin, is that they're not going to be able to be aware and regarding what was erased, and therefore the question was, that, what do you mean? Go ahead, erase the bottom, and then compare it to the top. So Rav Hoshe says, you can't compare what was erased for 2 days to what was erased 1 day. On that, Rav Yirmiyah is coming to answer, no, Cheshen Lebezen Toyin is even in that. Even in that of erasing and comparing, even that, they're not going to be so meticulous and so proficient, and they're not going to be able to be aware of if it was erased in extra time. So therefore we say, okay, you know what? You can't have the top written on the race because you're going to run into all these sort types of problems, and therefore that's going to be a shtar pasul. So ultimately the Gemara resolves and says that there's no difficulty in Rav's teaching of that one could write a document and the witness to sign all on a Niyar Mochak on an erased piece of parchment. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that was talking about a Git Mekusher and a Git Pashit as the title of our Perek. Reb Chanina Megamli Leimer, he says that although an opinion was stated that if you have the Get Mekusher and the Get Pasha, which have different halachas, that the Get Mekusher has to have the witnesses on the outside. So if you wrote the witnesses on the inside, says the time to come, it's possible, and the Get Pasha, which you're supposed to sign inside, if you sign on the outside, it's going to be possible. Chanina Megamli said that if you have the Get Mekusher, which is the bound document that each part is folded over the other one, you have the witness signed on the inside, it's going to be kosher. Why? Because as we explained in the Mishnah, because you could open it up. Since you could open it up and undo all the folds, it'll be a get pashut, and therefore it's going to be kosher by even having witnesses inside as a get pashut is. Now, however, the Gemara brings that Heshab Rebbe Ladivri of Chanin Ben Gamliel, it's brought the Brisa that Rebbe responded to this opinion of Chanin Gamliel, who he said that a Mekusher, a bound document, could then be made into an open document, and therefore kosher, even if the witness is assigned inside. His retort was, as we continue on the top of Amad Beis, but you cannot compare the document. In other words, even if you could open it up and then you're saying, okay, it should be like Get Pashut, there's another thing that's going to be different which would not allow Get Mekusher to be like Get Pashut. Because you can't compare the document of a Get Pashut to the date that's used as a method for the Get Mekusher. Because whereas by a Pashut, by a document that's open, Malach Shanam, if the king, that's how dates are written according to the monarchy, if it was written the first year that this king was ruling, so Moin Lashana, so you write it at its in his first year. Shtayim, Moin Lashtayim, if it's in the second year, you write it's the second year. Whereas Mekusher, but by a bound document, Aloha actually is a different set of dating. Malach Shana, if the king ruled for 1 year, Moin Lashtayim, you already write it in the second year. Shtayim, Moin Lagimel, if it's in the second year, you write it's the third year. In other words, you go ahead and you make it a year earlier because that's actually the custom of the country, which is that they actually make it like the king had ruled already a year before, which maybe that was just some type of a honor for the king. In other words, like to say as if, wow, he's almost as if he's been here already 2 years already. Now, what the Chacham went and they instituted by Get Mekusher is that the dating should be like the custom of the country, which the reason for that is because they wanted to give many differences and stringencies by Get Mekusher, because as the Gemara had explained previously, that this was a takana for certain kahanim that were particular, that they shouldn't be so quick to divorce their wives, and therefore we have to make certain stringencies and intricacies in the making of the document, which is going to take some time, so their hot-headedness will cool off and they won't divorce their wives. Now, therefore, based on that, Rebbe asks to Reb Chanin, and he says, so now you're going to run into a problem. Because you're saying a Get Mekusher can make it a Get Pasha, and therefore it's kosher. But v'zimnin, the yazav minei zuzi b'mekusher, what you're going to run into is that it could happen that someone will lend somebody money in the Get Mekusher. Which, as we said, the dating procedure by Get Mekusher is that it's written as it's a year earlier. U'misramalei zuzi b'ni b'ni parlay. Now, what might happen is that the borrower will have money in the meantime, and he'll pay him up. And they'll say, give me back my document. You're holding a debt document against me. Give me the document. And the lender will say, I lost the document. So, what do you do when you don't have a document? He writes from a receipt. Where even if he produces a document, he'll show, hey, I paid it up. But the problem is, based on what you said, Reb Chanina, when the time comes, the lender is going to turn the closed document, which you say works, and transform it into an open document. And then he's going to tell the borrower, the narrative was as follows. After that, I wrote for you a receipt, because it's true, I lent you money, and then you paid me back, and I wrote your receipt. After that, Hani, this document that I'm showing you now, it was now, meaning later, that you borrowed this money from me. And my document proves this, because the date of the document is written after the date of the receipt. Because although he wrote the receipt that in the second year of this king that he paid him up, here it's going to say that it's already in the third year that he borrowed, because although it was really in the second year, which was before the time of the receipt, but the writing of the Get Mekusher writes it a year earlier. So it's already saying the third year when it was really only the second year. So therefore, you're going to run into this problem. If you say you can turn the get mekusher into a get pashud, this guy is going to then go ahead and write a receipt and then produce the get mekusher, which he's going to have to collect from, although it's from the previous loan. And then it's the gemara, kasavra, b'chinin held that in kais min shayber. You're right, this would be problematic if you hold that you could write a receipt. He holds that a person does not pay up until the lender produces the document that it could tear it up, which this actually machlekes later on, daf kafayin mabez. If the halacha is when there's no document, do you write a receipt or do you not write a receipt? He holds you don't, so therefore you don't run into the problem of that Rebbe had asked on it. Now the Gemara parenthetically asks, Umibaki Rebbe b'makusher, was Rebbe so proficient in the laws of makusher, which he was asking an intricate question on Chanina by saying, hey, Chanina, even though you say that, okay, the Edim should be kosher on the inside because you could turn the get mekusher into get pashut by just opening it up, and then Rebbe says, hey, that's not going to help because the dating will be different, and you run into that problem where, for Rebbe Chanina, wasn't the problem, but we see Rebbe understood that the dating procedures of a get mekusher was different than the get pashut, and that is the Gemara, was Rebbe proficient in the laws of a get mekusher? But Vahu mekusher the Asla Kamed Rebbe, it was a certain get mekusher that came in front of Rebbe, which was in the first year of the reign of that king. But it was written that it was in the second year. Vamir Rebbe, Rebbe said, Shtam Uchuza. This is a post-dated document. Why does it say the second year when it's really in the first year? Vamali Zayin L'Rebbe, and Zayin, which the name of the sage, said to Rebbe, Kach min hagashal umazu. That's the custom of this country, that Malach Shana, when the king ruled only 1 year, Main L'Shtam, they already counted as the second year. Shtayim Main L'Shalish, when it's the second year, they counted as the third year. And again, and the Rabbanan instituted by Mekusher should be like that minig to differentiate, as the Gemara had said in the beginning of the paragraph, where it says, determine the pasuk mitzvah sechukim, to differentiate between the get pashut and the get Mekusher. So we see that Rebbe did not know these laws of the different dating. So how does he go ahead and ask that question on Chanina? Says the Gemara, Basad the Shaman, Mizayin, and Tzvar. After that, he heard this response that Zaynin had told him, it was then that he knew this halacha, and then he later used that as a question on Chanina. Now, related, the Gemara brings Ahush Dara. There was a certain get pashut, a regular open document. Davakasabay, it was written inside the document, Bishnas Pleni Archon. On the date, it said that in the date of that king, where that this person borrowed from that person, but it didn't say how many years into the reign of that king. Was it the first, second, or third? Now, Archon, when it says Bishnas Pleni Archon, is a reference to a king. Now, as the Gemara actually later on explained, it's in the first year of his reign that he's called Archon. And the reason that is because that's the time when things are put into order. In other words, because it's like for example, the Gemara in Sukkah says, Aruch Eloi Aruch, I mean, say, is it Mesukin? Is it fixed? Is it put into Seder? That's the term Archon. So that's the term of a king. Now, but it didn't say which year. So Amr Pchanina, he says, Yivdik Emasai Amad Archon Ba'Archonusai. So you go ahead, you check, what year did this king become the new king? And the reason for that is because this must be that it was in the first year of his reign that this document was written, and therefore it's from that point and onward that it could collect from the Lekuches from that point onward, because it was at that time that obviously the loan had happened. Which the Gemara asked, but v'dilma d'arch malchusei, but maybe actually that this is later on in his reign. In other words, how do we know that the guy borrowed from him in the first year? Maybe it only happened later on in the reign, because it doesn't say what year. It says that Bishnas playing the Archon and the year of that king, which again Archon is reference to king of that specific king. How do you know it was in the first year? Rav Hoshi says, no, kach min hagash al umazu. That is the custom of this people. Shana rishayin currently Archon. In the first year, they call the king Archon, which again is that he's mesukin for a new reign. Shnia currently digan. In the second year, they call him a different term, which this in the Greek terminology, they call him digun, is the term of duality, of two. Now, so the Gemara says, so fine, that obviously proves that it was the first year. But Vadilma Abur Abru, but how do we know it was the first original year that he became king? Maybe they actually at one point removed him from the monarchy. Vahadur Ukmu. And then later on, 2 or 3 years later, they then put him back and reinstated him as king, which then he would also be called Archon. And therefore, maybe the document was written actually when he ruled for the second time. So why could you collect from the first time that he became king? That Rabbi Yirmi says, no, hahu Archon digun karale. If that would ever happen, that if they removed him and then reinstated him, they wouldn't call him just regular Archon. They would call him Archon digun, because once they put him back for a second time, that's the term digun, and then Archon, that's for the first time on the second time, Archon digun. And therefore, if it just says Archon, it's obviously it was the first time that he became king. A similar related discussion regarding digun, regarding the Greek terminology, Tanabang Lunabraisa.
Someone says Harini Nazir, and he doesn't specify how long he wants to be a Nazir for, which is someone that can't take a haircut, can't drink wine. So Simcha Sumri says, if he says Hina, he says, I want to be a Nazir Hina, then his Nazirus is going to be Achas. He's going to have one period of Nazirus, which is for 30 days. Because similarly, as the Gemara brings elsewhere, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has in this world the fear of Hashem, as the Pasuk says in Eve, Hei Niris Hashem, which that means to say the term Hin in Greek means one. So we see that it means one, and therefore it's going to have it for 30 days. And so to all these terminologies, Hina, Digun, Trigun, they're all Greek words. So if he says Hina, it means one. Digun, it means Shtayim. So he's going to then be a Nazir for 60 days, because each period unit of Naziris is, as the Pasuk says, Yeh is for 30 days. Trigun, which is Tri, is going to be Gimel, is going to be 3, which is 90 days. Tatrigun is Arba. If he says Tatrigun, which is means 4, then he's going to have it for 4 periods of Naziris. Pentagon, Chamesh, that's a term of Greek of 5, he's going to have 5 periods of Naziris. So to similarly, in a different area of Halacha, Tanabon, Lena, Braisa. Bias Ugl, a round house, which is as in the Talmudic times, the types of ovens that doesn't have any corners to it, or digun, as a house that has only 2 corners. The way it would have that is because on one side it's round, and the other side it then meets at a corner, has 2 corners, so therefore it would be digun, or trigun, which it's made like a triangular shape, which is 3 corners, or pentagon, which it has 5 corners, as some Gemaras in the Rashbam have that picture. In the Metamei ben Goyim, such a house does not become tamei if it has a nega. Now, tatrigoyim, but if it has 4 corners, it's a square, then Metamei ben Goyim is going to become tamei in the halachas of Negoyim. Ask the Gemara Menonim, from where do we know this, that the halach of Tumas Negoyim in a house is only if it has 4 corners? The term like we learned the Braisa. Lamala Oimer, earlier in the parasha over there, it says in Bayikra, Kir Kiris. In other words, it could have said, V'hineh ha-nega b'kir ha-bayis. The nega is in the wall of the house. But it doesn't. It says, Kirois, walls, to tell you Shtayim, 2 walls. Lamata Oimer, later on it says, Kir Kiris Shtayim. Again, it could have said only Kir, and it says Kiris in the plural, which also tells us Shtayim too. Arikan Arba, that tells us that the house has to have 4 walls, which is this square house. But a round house is considered totally as one wall, and the others don't have 4 walls, either more or less, and therefore they're not going to become Tamei Tumas Negoyim. Now going back to similarly, as we had mentioned before, regarding Rebbe and the Get Mekusher, so the Gemara teaches that Hu Mekusher the Aslik made the Rebbe, a certain Get Mekusher, bound document that came in from the Rebbe, but I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe says, Ein Zman Bezet, as we had earlier on the previous stuff, quoted this incident where it says, there's no date in this document. So Amalei Reb Shimon b'Rebbe l'Rebbe. So his son Reb Shimon said to his father, Shema ben Kisharav Muvla, maybe it's absorbed between the bindings, because as we had explained in the previous stuff, the way Get Mekusher is written is that you have the writing folded over the empty space, then again text, and then folded over empty space, and therefore the much of the document is folded over. Maybe the date is absorbed underneath. You can't see it. It's hidden underneath the folds. Pal Yevachazi said, ripped it open, the document, and he saw that, yeah, there was a date there on the document. Now, Hadar Chaza be Rebbe Bebishas. So then Rebbe looked disapprovingly at his son, which is that he thought that his son had written it, and that Rebbe had wanted that a Get Pashut should be written, not a Get Mekusher, because as you see, people can make mistakes, as he, Rebbe himself, didn't realize that it would seem like there wasn't any date on it. Or his Rebbe's concern with this that he didn't like was because the date was absorbed between the folds too much, where even Rebbe himself had made the error, and therefore he didn't like the way this document was written. So he looked disapprovingly at his son. So Amalei, so his son said to him, Lava no kesafte, I didn't write this document. Rebbe Yehuda Chayote kasve. Rebbe Yehuda Chayote, which was his name, he wrote it. So Amalei, so his father said to him, Klach miloshen hara hazeh, go away from this lashon hara, from this slanderous speech. In other words, you should not have placed the blame on someone else. You should have just said, I didn't write it. You shouldn't have said, who wrote it? Now, similarly, a different type of incident, Zimna haba Yosef kamei. It was another time that Rebbe Shimon was sitting in front of his father, Rebbe, because Pasuk Sidra b'Sefer Tehillim, and Rebbe finished a portion in the Sefer of Tehillim. On the Rebbe, afterwards, Rebbe said, Kama miyushik sabza, how beautifully written were the words of this Sefer of Tehillim, which they didn't have printing presses, and it was written by a scribe. So Amalei, so his son Reb Shimon said to him, Lava no kesafte, I didn't write it. Yehuda Chayote kasve, Yehuda Chayote wrote it. So Amalei, so again, in this incident, he said to him, Klachm loshon hara hazeh, go away from this loshon hara, from this evil speech. So the Gemara asked, and these are the same statements Reb Shimon said, but the context is very different. Bishlemahasam, we understand the first incident, ikaloshan ara. Of course, there's evil speech because he's saying something negative about what someone had done. Elahacha, my loshan ara ikka. But here, what's the loshan ara? What do you mean? He's praising Reb Chayata, which Rebbe had liked. He said that he wrote it, so it's praise. Why is that loshan ara? And that answers the Gemara, Mishum de Rav Dimi, because of the teaching of Rav Dimi. The Tan Rav Dimi, Achud Rav Safa, the Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safa, had said, La'olam al yisapa adam mitaybaser shachaber. A person should not say over the praise of his friend, because through the praise that you're heaping on him, you're going to come to say something bad and disparagingly, because since you're increasing so much praise, which like in this case, we're saying, wow, such beautiful writing, you can end up saying something disparaging, say, yeah, but, you know, don't get carried away, etc., etc. And therefore, that's why I said, go away from this Lashon Hara. Even by extra praising a person, that's also considered in the category of Lashon Hara. So to similarly, the Gemara concludes, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav, Shalosh Averis in Adam Nitzel Mehen B'chol Yom. There are three sins that a person is not saved from every single day. One of them is Hira Avera, the thought of a sin. Second one is Ve'iyun Tfila, which literally means say the analysis of prayer, which some explain that it means that someone after that he prayed, he judges in his heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu for sure will give him the reward and do what he needs and listen to his prayer because I prayed with intent, which that is wrong because everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachmim and Chesed. It's not based on how great your prayers are. And Lashon Hara and evil speech. The Gemara's Lashon Hara is such a big sin. Every single day, no one is safe from it. The Gemara continues the top of Kof Samachem and Aleph. Ela Vak Lashon Hara means the dust of evil speech. For example, it's the Gemara in Eruchin that brings Naftazvam Beis, where he says, oh, you need a fire? Oh, there's fire in that person's house. Which is not directly something bad, but it insinuates because they're always cooking over there, there they eat, and therefore that's something that people, the nuances of how we say words, even though we're not saying something directly bad, that people, no one's saved from every single day. And so to the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Rav, the majority of people are suspect, begezel, regarding theft. Not that people go straight out and steal from people, but again, the same idea where people are meira heter, as it's called. They rationalize regarding business dealings and they don't give certain gains that someone else is supposed to have. Say, oh no, because he took this, he did this. That majority of people have to be suspected regarding that area of theft. Umiyud ba rais and the minority of people regarding immorality, illicit relations. Ba'kol b'lashon hara, and everyone is suspect regarding evil speech. So the Gemara so to ask, but Lashon Hara, do you think everyone is saying Lashon Hara? Ella Avak Lashon Hara, again, it means to say the dust of Lashon Hara, it's how we say it, it's the tone, it's the nuances, the inflections, the facial expression, those are the things called Avak Lashon Hara, that is, everybody is suspect regarding that area, and that's an area that requires a lot of work.